What's up, you guys? I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And welcome to the Know For Sure podcast, where we talk about healing, growing, evolving, and having the tough conversations.
Yes, and we also talk about relationships, not just romantic relationships, but platonic relationships.
Like the relationship I have with my best friend, Megan Ashley, of 20 years.
20 years, baby.
Yes, baby. Do you know for sure?
I think I know for sure, but what I do know for sure is after this episode, you're going to know something for sure.
Go ahead. We're ready.
Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this platform podcast and the people on it, the people producing it. And we just ask that you be glorified most out of this outcome. Just please allow your spirit to be present.
Please. Yes.
Allow us to touch and reach people and allow them to grow a closer relationship with you from our conversation today. In your name we pray. Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus. Is it touch and reach? Please. Playing with me?
We you gotta hang around. Listen, we do not have time. Like, we gotta spiritual warfare quick. Quick.
Today was like one of them heavy days. Like I woke up and it was just like, why is it heavy? Like
really?
Yeah. And I know how to fight it though.
Yeah.
I know the code.
That's right. What's the code?
The word.
Okay.
First and foremost, go dive into the word.
Okay.
Then obedience. So whatever God puts in your heart to do. So he upstairs in my office, he was like, before you start, go. Ask them to pray.
Yeah.
So I'll just be obedient to that whisper. Mm-hmm. Glory.
Yeah.
Make sure that we praise him, right? Mm-hmm. When we lift him up, that's how we get that energy mm-hmm. come down.
I know, that's right.
Then just our faith and fasting. And then our covenant keeping and our communication, our prayer.
Yeah.
And our tithes. So like whenever, so any of those things always could pick us up. Like tithing will pick you up, right?
Yeah.
Sowing a seed to pick you up.
Yeah.
Whatever he told you to do, like that small thing. Like pick up that trash right there.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Yeah. Whatever he says that all the time. I'll do it. Yeah.
So just that level of obedience to me opens me back up. And now God and I are back on the frequency that we need. And
I know
all
that's
distractions
right.
is just distractions.
Yeah.
That was a good intro, y'all. Y'all see we got a guest. What'd you say?
I was saying that's gonna come.
Oh, period.
Them heavy days, they're just
it you comes. Wake up like, what is it now?
And last night was good.
I was happy when I felt dozed off. What was in my mind when I was resting?
Life be life.
When I dozed off, I was giggles.
It for sure is what is it now.
I was like, well, why? I'm waking up like.
That's why I talk in my first 20 minutes.
Get off me.
That first 20 minutes of my day, I try to get to the Father.
Like I know.
Immediately.
I know.
Before check the Instagram, before the text.
I know. I've been backsliding a little bit on that, but I'm back on it.
But sometimes it's like before your feet even touch the floor.
When you open your
eyes. It's like when you open your eyes, before I even like start moving around to get up off the bed, I literally got to check my like a vibe check, like where your heart at.
What am I feeling?
Like where you at?
Yep.
Before I, because what happens is you throw your feet off the side of the bed and you just go.
You just go.
And you just go without.
Taking
making
inventory.
Your body come into submission
with what you want spirit. To happen.
Like,
yeah, right.
My spirit is in control today.
Yeah,
it's like spirit
you
check.
Gotta take a it's just your spirit. Like, we're like check yourself before you even get out of the bed. I'm not even talking about you out in the shower. I'm talking about before as soon as your eyes open. Ask yourself, where am I? Where's my heart? Where's my spirit?
What am I feeling? Yeah.
I knew mine was off.
Immediately, Holy Spirit, be with me today. Right. I invite you into my day. Like you have, before you do anything else. That doesn't mean some stuff might not come during the day, but at least you're prepared and you're quick to get through that
mentally
day.
Prepared, yeah, spiritually prepared.
Jacking you up.
Yeah.
Just being, you know, waking up, being reckless, just going.
Have you ever had like the best praise and worship? And then soon as you interact with another human,
you're like,
this is going to be a great day. I am peace.
Who sent me?
What? I literally hopped on the elevator like, okay, like, excuse me. Like, ooh, it's wait. Like, what happened in the 30 seconds I left my.
That would be funny if you did a skit like that and like. Every time you had to go back to your prayer corner.
Every time.
And you're like, God.
Go right back to the corner. You're like, this is going to be a great day, peaceful day. As soon as I got on the elevator, I was like, well, you're rude.
You know what it is?
That's fine. Maybe you were supposed to be the blessing for them.
For sure.
They need some of what you got.
For sure. That's it. That's it.
Yeah. That's how I look at it. I look at it like, all right, like, I see what's going on with you.
100%.
I'm going to love you a little deeper.
I'm going to love you a little deeper.
And sometimes you got to, like, laugh. Like,
100%.
Like, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, right? That's what scriptures say. We're fighting against principalities, right?
Yeah.
So we're fighting spiritual battles.
Yeah.
Right? So if there's something that's annoying me, right? That's something in you is annoying
your spirit.
Me. I'm just going to start laughing at it.
Yeah.
Like, I know what this make is. It feel bad. Yeah. Yeah. And like, that's why you have to go extra above and be nice to people that are like mean to you.
Yeah.
Not in like a manipulative, like, not in a
being for sure. Passive aggressive,
passive aggressive right. way, for sure. But like,
really out like, of love.
Yeah. For like, right. compassion. I feel bad. Yeah. Compassion. Yeah, compassion. Like, I actually feel bad for you.
Yeah.
Like, man, wow. Dang. You're really that person.
You're really,
like, you're really that place in life. And I literally, without being facetious, like, really feel bad that you got to make other people feel bad for you to be happy.
100%.
Yeah. Or that you so, like, caught up in your pain that you're not even aware of how that's affecting other people. You
aware. Yeah. Right. The
you
awareness.
You don't even care that you're rude.
Yeah.
Or that you're like, rushing onto the elevator as I'm trying to get off the elevator. Like,
whoa, almost fell. Bucko. God.
Oh, folks, you're saying, hurry to hell.
Well, you know what I learned
rushing
too?
To hell.
I learned My too, goodness. A lot of times we judge people when Be they bad. Like, when they rush or they bump us or do something like that.
Jesus. Sorry.
It's okay. But we make up stories sometimes. We say that somebody's rude because they rushed us or they rushed past us or cut us off in the car. But we don't know what's going on with them right then. Like, we don't know if they got news about their child, something happened to their child, something happened to a loved one or a grandparent. So you're like, man, why you bump me and rush me? But they just lost their mother.
That's where the grace comes in. Yeah.
Right? So we make up stories and call somebody rude. They're just in a daze right now.
Right.
So I try to never, ever, like, paint a picture of somebody based off that quick interaction and perception.
Right.
Sometimes, like, we've had emergencies where we're rushing in and out of the hospital, we're cutting people off and all that, but it's like, you don't know, my child's in the back.
Right.
You're like, why do you, I got you speeding go. For?
Right.
I really got the speed right now.
Yeah.
And that's why there's nothing wrong with asking.
Yeah.
Like, how's your day going?
Yeah.
True. How you doing today?
And then that's when
it breaks a wall.
I'm glad you asked.
That cry.
What did he say after that? I've always loved you.
He says,
I love you. That's that when if somebody say what's wrong and you were on the brink, you like
what?
Not your ass.
Literally, do you
don't
need a
touch
hug?
Me? Because if I hug you, I'm not gonna let go.
Fall into you, catch me. Or if you say like, if somebody's like, are you sure?
Ooh, wee.
Am I sure? You know I'm not sure.
You see in my eyes, I'm not sure.
You see my eyes are glassy. They're like,
you know I'm not doing well.
Don't give them too much.
Oh, you can cut the live.
Y'all talk to them. But about LA.
If you guys don't know, we have a guest, a very special guest. Mr. J. Morrison
is in the building, y'all.
And what's crazy is he's the husband of our really good friend, and we still call him Mr. J.
Mr. J. Every time I say it, he's like laughs. Ernest, like, I'm like, he's Mr. J.
Mr. J. I don't know.
It's a respectful name.
I don't think we could just say J.
No. Hey, J.
I'm honored to be Mr. J.
I can't just be like, what's up, J?
Your brother.
He gives Mr. J.
Mr. J. Jesus.
I know it's in that. Is anyone experiencing fruit flies all in their house?
Everywhere. No.
Really?
Literally.
What is it because
Carla, of? Are you getting fruit flies? Do you have fruit flies everywhere? They're everywhere. What is it?
They're attacking the refrigerator. Like, my wife makes some concoction and try to capture them.
Yeah.
Like,
really?
Apple cider vinegar and dish soap is supposed to crack.
Is it
all
something
over
in
my
the
house.
Environment or something?
I don't know if it's just the season.
The season, yeah.
It's called Georgia.
Right.
But we are here at the beautiful Legacy Center.
Yes.
This is
y'all's
building.
This is amazing. The
tell them about where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the Legacy Center, 7 minutes from the world's busiest airport.
Come on.
I call it a culturally dipped Class A events venue and media production space. We offer 30,000 square feet of venue space for corporate events, private events, birthday parties, retreats, all that in. It's our Oprah Winfrey podcast studio.
It's so cool.
Thank you guys.
They
for
have it. 1, 2, 3, 4 podcasts. Areas sets, in here setups. We did another one, another setup earlier, but we love it.
Yeah. Psych wall, 16 offices, 2.6 acres, community garden.
Come on.
All that.
Y'all got food in the garden?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm about to go pick some.
Yeah, we had watermelon.
Some watermelon. Yeah, like
green tomatoes.
They got watermelon. And he just had watermelon for the first time this year.
Listen, I was anti. Anti-watermelon? Because I tried it when I was little and I didn't like
it.
So just for the rest of my life, I just...
So you weren't anti, you just didn't like it.
I just didn't like it.
Yeah.
That's like when stuff happened when you literally like, I don't eat eggs. You ain't had an egg since you was two.
For sure.
You threw up once and...
For sure.
Then y'all's friend...
You had a bad egg.
You eat eggs. Y'all's friend, Mrs. Ernestine Morrison, made me try it again at 42.
But now you love it.
Yeah. I love it. I bought two yesterday.
You like watermelon juice?
No.
No, see, you'll love that. Watermelon juice is... Oh my God. And it's really good for you.
I like the actual melon texture.
Oh, because it's like,
it's like the meat of fruit. It's like it's like steak for fruit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I love watermelon. I love melons.
I love and all juice. Fruit. What fruit don't you? You know what fruit I don't like? It's so stupid, but it's beautiful, so I eat it because it's pretty. The white one,
fruit?
Yeah,
they're nasty.
Tastes like nothing.
Yeah. That and the
papaya. Papaya always tastes spoiled to me.
Yeah, it has a little spoiled taste.
It has a spoiled taste to it.
What's the other? Dragon fruit and...
I don't like dragon fruit or papaya.
What's the red one? That's the dragon fruit. What's the yellow one? Is it like just yellow dragon fruit?
Pomegranate?
No, not a pomegranate. I actually like pomegranate. I love pomegranate.
She said pomegranate? She got it in her hand.
What's one fruit that I don't like?
I don't like cantaloupe.
I love a cantaloupe.
See,
now.
I
used to not like it, but my sister got me
and
on it.
And honeydew?
The green?
Yes.
For sure.
Oh my God.
I call it green cantaloupe.
It's so good. It's good for gut digestion too.
I need to get on that.
I eat food I don't like though. Just for the
you like just for the nutrients.
Yeah, really?
Like, right.
Yeah.
Well, you did your first sermon recently.
I did.
Let's talk about that.
Well,
right?
Bible study. It was a Bible study.
Well, yeah.
It was kind of preachy though, but it was a Bible study.
He was kind of preachy.
But then
and then you were in North Carolina, right?
Yeah. Pastor invited me to actually, he's like, hey, I want you to come to a financial workshop on Monday for my church. I'm like, all right, great. He's like, you know, I want you to come Sunday too. I'm like, cool.
Okay.
So I'm thinking he wants me like in the audience on Sunday so he can point me out. Like, okay, Jay Morris is going to be doing a financial workshop. You guys come. He's like, no, I want you to preach.
So tell us a little bit about your history, what you do, financial literacy, coming from the prison system, like your past and all that, and how you got to being on a stage preaching. Because you're not technically a pastor.
I'm not a pastor.
You get
or
what
I'm
saying?
Preacher.
Or a preacher.
A preacher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a reverend or whatever, you know,
bishop.
A bishop.
Yeah.
A deacon.
Apostle J.
A prophet.
You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show.
So how did you get, before we talk about how you got on that stage preaching, tell, you know, the viewers a little bit about your past.
Which is awkward for me because I always wanted to, like, not be the preacher, right? Like, I feel like when I was 17, I was the youth ministry president, and my whole church thought I would be a preacher because I was very well-spoken and Sunday school on Mondays, Bible study on Wednesdays, choir on Thursdays, was an usher. My grandma was superintendent of Sunday school,
You was an usher?
Yeah.
Two seats.
So, like, I grew up in the church, but, you know, I grew up in poverty and got introduced to the streets when I was 15 years old.
Okay.
And I dropped out of high school at 16 and was a full-time drug dealer at that time. And so...
Did you ever graduate or get your GED?
Yeah, I went back to an alternative program, to a Votech, and I did get my actual diploma from a TOPS program. Mm-hmm, yeah, nice. I graduated.
I'm glad you did. I did, like, me too. Why would you ask that? I never went back.
Thanks, B.
Thank you, Lord.
So having I remember even in my freshman year, I saw somebody be valedictorian of our high school. And I told my friends, you know, from my kind of apartment complex, I'm like, I want to do that one day. And it was like, why you want to do that corny stuff? And so it's always looked down upon to kind of be a speaker.
The community that you were in. Yeah.
And then especially as I started selling dope and in the streets, it was and I had church hurt because my mom was going through a lot of abuse in our home. But the church was telling her she couldn't get divorced.
Lord.
And, you know, she was going through real hardcore
stuff,
emotional abuse, physical abuse, the stuff. And I grew up under that. And so I loved God, but then I just couldn't understand how God would let my mom go through what she went through and the church treated how they treated it. So when I got more independent, I had a drug trafficking ring at 17 years old from New York to Jersey to Baltimore to Nebraska. And I ended up being locked up in that same drug trafficking ring when I was 18. Yeah, I was facing 3 years to life in prison at 18 years old for a quarter kilo of coke and a loaded handgun in New York. And so I committed to the streets at that time. So the good boy, the better spirit, the higher vibration me, I've had clear
visions
from God. It was there.
You just ignored it.
I pictured it. I already knew. I already knew in my heart of hearts I was supposed to be where I was supposed to be.
Were you working towards that or were you ignoring it?
No, it was just a vision I got when I was young. I always had a vision of me preaching.
You saw it, but you didn't.
To my peers and to hip hop culture and to the street culture is like,
you can't.
And then my church shirt is like, yo, I'm never going to be that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then as you grow up, it's like, oh, the preacher's the guy that gets the offerings and buys the jets and the planes. Mm-hmm. And all the stuff that we've stigmatized around the church, you even get more anti, yo, I definitely want to be that guy.
Yeah.
And so as I, went through 10 years in the streets and, I got introduced to real estate while I was on parole. I was 22 years old. I was in an intense supervision program and I literally decided, because parole was like a 6 o'clock curfew, random breathalyzer test, so you couldn't drink. Random drug test. It was I had to keep a journal and a budget. And I had this RoboCop named Jim Paul, who was the parole officer of all parole officers. You know what I'm saying? And so I hated parole so much. During our Saturday men's group, I told our mentor, he's 37 years old. His name was Pastor Antoine Thomas in Plainfield, New Jersey. I was like, look at y'all, I'm about to go back to prison. So I'm going to finish my time in jail and I'm going to come home on no parole. That was my plan at 22. Mm-hmm. I'm not with this.
So how long were you in jail?
2.5 years total.
Wow.
I did a year in upstate New York. I came home for a year and a half, went right back to the streets.
You did Rikers, didn't you?
Yeah.
What?
Rikers Island, C-74, Mod 3 Upper.
My goodness.
Yeah.
You are a thug.
Nah, I'm a
gangster. You are delivered.
And God covered me the whole time.
Rikers?
Oh my God. Good for you for making it through that.
Yeah, I grew up there.
Like, what was your mindset already shifted when you were in that position, or it shifted later? Like, when you were going through all that, you knew this is temporary. I'm making bad decisions. I'm trying to be better. Or you were really like in that life?
I'm trying to get more money.
Oh, wow. Where the connects at? Okay.
Like jail was just criminal school.
Okay.
Like, I just learned how to sell drugs better. It's like, I met new connects. I met white boy Eddie from Staten Island. He's like, yo, here's my connect, boogie of town. Da, 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 da.
Wow.
Like, I remember actually in my dorm in upstate New York, is this big white dude named white boy Eddie. Now, mind you, this guy's from the Bronx, Brooklyn, Syracuse, upstate New York. I'm talking about God bodies, Muslims, Latin kings, all that. But a white boy ran the dorm in New York. White boy Eddie from Staten Island. And like, ain't nobody, he controlled the TV, the phones. Like,
wow.
But he loved me. He just liked me. So, one day he's on his locker writing
that's
down a
favor.
Bunch, favor.
That's that favor.
No, all my prison time, no one ever took nothing from me.
Wow.
In all the jails I've been in medium B security prisons. I had a double lifer as an inmate, all that. No one ever took nothing from me. I always had phone time. I always had commissary, and I never got in a fight.
Wow.
In all my jail time, and never got punked. It's verified. Like, God just favored me. Like, I seen guys get their face cut, buck 50s from their mouth to the ear, stabbed in the morning chow line, all that. And I stay active, but I wasn't big or none of that. Mm-hmm, I just was favored.
Man.
So one day, white boy Eddie's writing on his locker all these names. I'm like, what you doing? He's like, I'm writing down all the fiends in my town. When I come home, I'm going to go see everybody and give them a sample.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do that too. So I started writing down every customer I knew in my town that got high. And so when I came home, I went and got a half gram from his connect, a half gram of coke for everybody. And I went and seen all the customers in my town to give everybody a sample of my new product. And say, here's my phone number, call me. This is like my first month home from prison. And I took over my town.
Wow. So you weren't worried about going back into the system or going back into prison?
I didn't have to get caught again.
Wow.
I never
thought. So that was the goal, not to get caught.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, I literally, in high school, while still going to church at that time, but my mom made us. But in high school, I was making $3,000 to $5,000 a week.
Wow.
Yeah. I had a blue face and Mariner Rolex in high school. Like, my principal was like, oh, what's that on your wrist? Like, so I was like, mind you, I come from poverty. Like, I'm talking about free lunch in schools, Goodwill closed for Christmas, welfare, paper food stamps, Section 8, like the whole, every government program, we was on it. And so, mind you, I go from that at 16 and then dropping out and like living on the streets, going from house to house on the couch, to at 17, I got like $30,000 stashed in my safe that I made in the carpentry class. I made a wood safe in my carpentry class and stuffed it up with cash. And so I felt invincible at 17, like, yo, look, I'm really meant for this. I remember being in our math class, like calculating how much per week it'd take me, how many weeks it'd take me to be a millionaire. Right. So I was really like, in my young, immature mind, like
you were ready.
I was going to be successful. I seen the vision be successful as a drug dealer. And I had committed to that. And so, so fast forward, when I go through the streets in prison, I literally was just committed to like, okay, all I got to do is not do this different. And I really thought that God had me favored to sell drugs. I really thought like I couldn't be touched.
Wow.
Right. And so
what was the shift when you got out of that lifestyle?
So I got introduced to real estate. The pastor and the mentorship group, he was like, take this card. My wife's a processor at a mortgage company and I want you to try mortgages out. I'm like, I don't know what mortgages is. What's that? He like, yo, just put some slacks on and a button up and just go. They'll teach you. And I went into the office. They hired me on a commission basis. I put my little Sunday khakis on, my little button up. And, my grandma let me refinance her house, and I made $3,000 in like 30 days. And then my aunt let me refinance her house, and I made like $2,600. And so I was like, yo,
okay,
I made like six bands, like just pushing papers. Like, right. This is kind of easy. So that planted a seed with me. I did that for the course of the parole program. I did graduate the parole program, went to a little ceremony and all that, and then went right back to the streets.
Wow.
And then 4 years later, I got money. And then I had a close call. A female transporter of ours was going from Jersey to Maryland with 700 grams of coke and 5 pounds of weed. And the cops pulled her over and they locked her up.
Jesus.
And
my goodness.
I'm a three-time felon.
She didn't tell?
She didn't tell.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't have been.
I said, she didn't tell?
She was crying. She was screaming, get me out of here. How much time did she have to do? All of that. No, we bailed her out.
Okay.
After that weekend, I got the same lawyer I had on my case in Maryland, Harold Glazer, and the cops, they knew somebody was from Jersey, was coming down to meet my guy, I ain't gonna say his name, but you know him, my guy in Maryland. So they knew someone was coming down, but they didn't have a description of the car or the person. So when they see my guy go like wave, like follow me, and she started following him, the cops just hopped out and locked her up. But they never had a warrant for the car or the person. They didn't know who the person was. So my lawyer pulled a motion of illegal search and seizure.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
Because they illegally searched her vehicle. We got everything thrown out.
Wow.
But you just lost all the stuff.
I lost all the work, all the money. Yeah. And then I was like, yo, this right here ain't working out. My coke ain't working out. So I stopped selling coke and I started selling dope. Heroin in North New Jersey.
God.
And then one day.
I'm like, so when did you give your life to Christ? He's like, so the coke didn't work. So I start selling crack heroin rocks that I made in my grandmother's basement.
Committed. Like bumping my head. See,
young man, if y'all are that committed to something illegal, you can be just as committed to something legal. Happened.
I was on the corner.
So I started selling heroin that came with the needles.
I was like, cocaine
bundle deal. It was a bundle deal.
I got to try a new drug.
That's not funny, but I thought you was going to say something else.
One day I'm on the corner in Newark, and the guy I was partnering with was like one of the generals for the Sex, Money, Murder, Bloods. And I'm like in gangland Newark on the south side, and I'm up 6 in the morning. We selling heroin. And I'm like, I had a vision. I asked, like, where are you going to be when you're 30? I was approaching 25 years old. And I only could picture myself dead or in jail. Like, I pictured, like, the green bars, the chip paint, and the tan suit.
Wow.
I pictured myself, my head bleeding on a curb, Ooh. Right? Like, I could vividly picture it. Mm. So I'm like, nah, I got this. I tried to picture it again. It was the same picture. And so that day, I was like, yo, if you're a drug dealer, you only can sell drugs. Like, if you're a true hustler, you can hustle anything.
Yeah.
And so I challenged myself. I was like, yo, Jay, if you're really the man, like, you should be able to get into real estate and put all this energy of 24-hour shifts and giving out samples and all what you learn in the streets. Try that at least for a year. Just try it one time. And so that day, I still had 2 ounces left and product and all that. I gave it away to my partner. I broke my trap phone. I literally cold turkey just quit the game one day. I was just like, yo, I'm done. I called the mortgage company, re-got my license, went and got my first property. Then I got 3 my first year. Got my real estate license when I sold the commissions. The realtor made it my property. So I became a loan officer, a realtor, and I was a landlord. And then I got 6 properties my second year and made my first million my third year in real estate.
Wow.
So that fast.
That fast.
All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, you know what we've all heard before? You know, try it for free for 30 days. And after the free trial is over, it slips your mind. You don't cancel. Then months go by and you're unwillingly paying for a subscription you've only used once or twice. Don't feel it's just you. It turns out that the average person has about 12 subscriptions that they are paying close to $200. So if you have no idea how much you're spending every month, you need Rocket Money. It's simple to use. Just find the subscriptions you don't want and press cancel. That's it.
Rocket Money cancels it for you, y'all. You don't have to get on the phone and play phone tag with customer service reps who are going to try to talk you into staying when you really just want to go. You just want to say no. Well, Rocket Money does the work for you. Oh my gosh. You don't have to go back and forth with emails either. They've had over 3 million people use Rocket Money, y'all. It saves the average person up to $720 a year. Now, Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, it's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, y'all. It monitors your spending and it helps you lower your bills all in one place. What's not to love about Rocket Money, duh?
You guys, check it out now and see if it can help clear up your subscription services, lower your bills and monthly payments. Stop throwing away your money. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses today by going to rocketmoney.com/KFS. That's rocketmoney.com/KFS. All right, guys, back to the show.
Just full. I was about to give up 9 months in. I made no money. I made $2,500 in 9 months.
You were like, oh, no.
So I was calling around like, yo, fam, what's back. Prices? Yeah. What's going on? And then that month, I closed 7 mortgage deals and made $13,000.
Wow.
And then the next month, I made $33,000. And then 4 months later, I caught a foreclosure and made $93,000. And then I was like, yo, I had $112,000 in my, I remember my bank account, $112,000 in Commerce Bank. And I was like, yo, I got 100 racks legally.
I can't go to jail.
I was tweaking. I was tripping. Yeah. Like, I'm never looking back. Like, this is it for me. And so that's when, at that time, I started going back to church. I was telling my testimonies, like, it's like youth churches and all that. And I was like really giving the glory to God for my come up. And then as I started making more money, I started getting more arrogant. Mm. It was more me and less of God. Like, it was so much so that.
Wow.
Yeah, I really forgot about God in the process, like that he brought me through all of that. And I was just on that ego stroke, that you know, blowing money fast, like, balling. Yeah. I'm the man.
Like,
I was
legally.
Like, legally. That was the thing. I'm like, yo, y'all know I was a man in the street. Like, I bought a Navigator Cash of the Lot at 19 years old. Like, I was him.
Yeah.
So it's like now, I took a hold of the industry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Legally?
Legally, I'm managing two mortgage companies. I'm making between $70,000 and $130,000. This is before Instagram, all that. Yeah. It's 2005, it's 2009, 2010. Like, I'm making like $100,000, $130,000 a month off mortgages and real estate. And I, quote unquote, I did this. Mm-hmm. Look what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it was like, it's me. That's who is. It's a lot of puffery. And then, so I just forgot about God. And I literally, to the point, I remember like two embarrassing stories is like, I remember, like telling a girl, like, I'm God. Like, ooh. You know what I'm saying? Like that bold. Like,
Jesus.
So much so that my, that my middle daughter, London, I thought she was going to be a boy, and her mom, when she was pregnant, I'm like, my son, we're going to call him Jesus because he's God's son. Like, that's how arrogant and how, like, out there I was.
My goodness.
I was, and God humbled me. By 30, I lost everything I had. Car repo, living in foreclosure. I was a broken man, crying on my knees on the side of bed, like, just depressed, back beating myself up. Like, it ran me closer to him. Like, I had nowhere else to go. I literally lost everything. My ego was shot. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it was all drinks on me. Mr. Chow's on me. Mm-hmm. Like, it was all that. And then I couldn't, I had a dollar sweet tea and dollar apple pie was my treat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally no car. Then I bought like a $2,500 Dodge Intrepid 2003 cloth seats off a car auction lot. Like, that was my car and I was grinding back up. And then one day, I got my real estate license again. Like, I, you know, let my license go and I was just trying to figure out life. I was a party promoter. I was doing like
trip club promotions. He's like, I'll do it. I can hustle anything. I know that's right.
Right. I'm trying
anything but back to the streets.
Yeah, the market had crashed in real estate and it kind of broke my heart because I thought like real estate was like my savior.
Yeah.
The father.
What year was this?
Yeah.
This is like 2010.
Okay,
after the market crashed, like 08, 09.
I was about to say the market crashed.
I still had money and everything, but I was living the same lifestyle. And the money wasn't coming as the same. So I was spending way more than
you were making.
What I was making, but I was so arrogant and egotistical. I just thought that the money was, I don't know where I thought it was coming from because it wasn't coming in.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought I could still spend it the same and still, you know, maintain. I just really spent myself into oblivion for real until it got too late. Like, but the humility in it, it drove me back into church again. And then I got my real estate license again. I was like trying different companies and then I Googled richest town in New Jersey and Alpine, New Jersey came up. And so I started taking tours of real estate offices at Alpine. Alpine actually was the richest zip code in all of America.
Mm.
And so I'm taking tours up there. Yeah. It's the richest town in all of America. And so I'm taking tours up there and I ran into this lady, Mary, at Sotheby's International Realty. I never heard of Sotheby's. I couldn't even pronounce the name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's this sign with the T? Sotheby. How you know? Mm-hmm. So I walk in, I tell her the same story, my whole testimony. And she's like, wow, I love it. She's like, we want to hire you.
Mm.
I thought I was a felon, a crack dealer, everything.
You know, like, I haven't told her about the heroin.
Right.
I told her about the heroin.
So they hired me as the first black man hired by a prominent property Sotheby's International
Realty. Wow.
Bergen County, New Jersey.
Wow.
And at that same time, NBC had picked me up as a celebrity realtor in NBC's Open House NYC. So I was showing like high-end houses in New Jersey, Bergen County, and New York on TV. And so like I started getting like a national presence. And then Today Show called me and was like, hey, we saw you on NBC Open House. Can you do live TV? I'm like, yeah, sure.
The lion. So, not lying, but I've never done this before, but I can do it.
So I'm like, so my heart beating all fast. I'm about to go on stage. It's like Today Show, like national TV. Yeah. Sent the limo for me, the whole thing. People pounding on the walls outside.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I'm like, humble, because I'm like, God, look at you again.
Yep.
Like, look at you again. Yep. Like, after being broke, depressed, busted, resenting you, like, all of that, like, not, you know, and he just still elevated me. And so I started teaching in middle schools and high schools a program called Hip Hop to Homeowners.
Mm-hmm.
I used, like, DJ Little Man would come in and have dance contests, and I would teach kids about financial literacy, credit scores, right? I used audience participation, credit score signs, Monopoly signs.
Mm-hmm.
I made this fun interactive game that, like, Rockaware sponsored it and some other organizations back then. And one day I was leaving church in Linden, New Jersey, and I was in my little Dodge, and God was like, I was trying to figure out my brand, because Sotheby's wanted me to go into this high-end luxury brand,
mm-hmm.
but I would like leave a $56 million house But then I go to North, high school in North, West Side of North, and his kids ain't got holes in their sneakers.
Knowing where you came from. Right. Yeah.
So I'm like, here's a kid with holes in their sneakers, but here I leave and go see a $56 million house. I'm like, something's not right here. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really on me, like, what can I do about the solution other than blame Jay-Z and Oprah and everybody else for not taking care of us or not doing for us? I was like, what can I do for us?
Yeah.
And I was leaving church and God said, take care of my people and I'll take care of you. Mm-hmm. This is in February 2012. Mm-hmm. And he just gave me a vision. Actually, it was a vision of Moses leading people out of Egypt. And they were like, these like, it was like black people coming out of Egypt. It was like Moses. And then he was like, to double down on my empowerment in the least amongst us. Mm-hmm. So I was reading the gospel at that time. And I was like, let me see Jesus for myself. Like, forget what the pastors and everybody else gives me interpretation. I want to see how Christ moved himself.
Yeah, that's how it is.
And so when I read the gospel for the first time and seeing the level of love, compassion, empathy, patience, and all that long suffering that Jesus had, and how he was in the streets. He was in the streets with the prostitutes. He was in the streets with the essentially the drug dealers, right? With the winos, with the gamblers, and with the sinners. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, yo, I gotta serve those least amongst us. And so when I started teaching in the high schools, somebody was like, why are you going to that high school? Like, those kids are bad. It's like science high school. Those kids are already ready for this information. And I was like,
well, that's where I need to go.
I was like, a doctor doesn't come to heal those who are well. They come and heal those who are sick. Mm-hmm. And so I started going to the worst schools in the country. And then Sotheby's, and then I dropped a video on World Star Hip Hop called Wake Up. And it was like how the black community should wake up and like get our ish together. Mm-hmm. And it was like, it's about like just crossing over, like just understanding like code switching. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be cool and homeboy talk with your homeboys, but like, no, when you get in corporate spaces, like you could switch that up. And conquer anything. And I was just saying, for me, I'm like on NBC and at Sotheby's and these corporate rooms, but like, yo, I'm more street dude than like all y'all street dudes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
Like, I done been there.
Like, you could cross it up and switch it up. And that video did like 250,000 views the first day in like 2012. And so I went viral like back then. And then I went on the Breakfast Club. And gave them some game on real estate. And I just gained like a national influence between the NBC and those platforms.
Do you still have that platform with the youth? Do you still have a
financial literacy?
I do.
So, I know you mentored young men for a while. Like, do you still do that?
I still do. So one, I go into high schools currently and I still do assemblies, keynotes, financial literacy lectures and hip hop to homeowners kind of things. I currently, for the last 3 years, I have founded a program called Big Brothers Anonymous.
Okay.
It's actually a duplicate of the program I was a part of at 22 years old.
So cool. So they can still sign up for this.
Yes.
I want to say that because I think I'm not a black man out there in that environment, but they want somebody that has been through what they've been through.
Yeah. Right.
Not just somebody proof saying, don't do this, don't do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Proof that, okay, he has been here. He has been in the streets. He has sold the drugs. He's had the girls. He's had the life. He's had this. And now he's here. Not just somebody saying, don't do that. Well, you don't know why I'm doing this. You don't know that I got to eat, that I'm in survival mode. You don't know, you know.
Yep.
So that the fact that you've been through that life and you're still sitting here today, I'm just was wondering if that's something you still did.
Yeah. Every first and third Saturday right here in this building, every first and third Saturday in Atlanta at the Legacy Center, we host Big Brothers Anonymous. We invite what we call wise kings, those 25 years and older, to come in and mentor.
So cool.
And we invite the young kings, ages 12 to 24, moms, aunties, grandmas, drop them off. We feed them. We spend 3 hours with them from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Wow.
Been doing it 3 years now consistently. I just got honored by the White House for over 144 hours of community service.
Okay.
Mentoring our youth. Because we're partnering with the My Brothers Keepers Alliance and Obama Foundation of Fulton County. And so, but I just duplicated that program because I saw what one seed planted did for me.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
One pastor at 37 years old seeing something in me and saying, go to this mortgage company.
Just go.
Even though I didn't get out of the streets for 3-4 more years, mm-hmm. it...
That was still a seed planted. Yeah.
That allowed me to be here as, a high-level real estate entrepreneur and fund manager and everything else. But it started with that seed. And so I'm like, if I could do the same thing and plant these seeds in these youth here, who knows who's going to be the next bigger than me or whatever the case is. And so that's just a part of my heart to serve.
And now you're a pastor.
I'm not a pastor.
Ernestine about to be a first lady.
Yeah, we're all.
I'm wherever God takes me, though.
I know.
So when he asked me to preach, I was about to play with it because usually I would act shy, bashful, or just kind of run away or try to curve any kind of calling. And I just grew. So like just the last year, I've become a man of God. Mm. Prior to that, I was a child of God. Mm. Like I love God. I was learning. I was growing. But I wasn't spiritually mature enough or spiritually ranked enough to be able to like be fully submitted to obedience.
100%.
Despite what peers think, what y'all might say, oh, he's a real estate guy. What is he doing over there? Like I would get in my head about something like that. If somebody's like questioning my motives or questioning what I'm doing. And now I have there's just no question to something that God calls me to do. And I've heard from him so clear in the last 2 years, like I could literally verifiably show receipts that God is real in 2023. Mm. Like not what we believe in the Bible from 2000, 3000 years ago. Like,
right.
I know in my life, I got receipts right now that he's spoken to me. He's his words not come to him void. And he's manifested things in my life that like he literally gave me visions for.
Yeah.
What do you feel like the, because you said you just became a man of God before you were a child of God. What was that transition and why within a year? Like what happened in your life within the year that you went from, you know, a childish relationship or a more immature relationship with God to a more mature relationship?
Yeah, I think that reading the word. So again, when I say I hear from God, it's unctions, it's whispers, it's vision. And so God gave me a whisper of January 2022. He told me to read the word every day in chronological order, starting January 1st. So I started in Genesis 1:1 on January 1st, 2022. In the same way I read the gospel for myself, I got to see who Christ was for myself. Like that's why I do corner classes. I saw Jesus teach and minister in the street. So I started teaching financial literacy on inner city street corners. And I've done 66 of those in 34 cities, right? And so it's the same thing. I started reading the word for myself through Genesis and through Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy and Joshua. And now I have this high level comprehension and I'm able to put it all together for myself outside of Sunday school interpretation. I got to see who I was and whose I was. Mm-hmm. And as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh God, like these mighty men of God I'm reading about remind me so much of me.
Yeah.
My circumstances. Yep. And I'm getting to see who you are, who your people were. You described your people and they look and sound like me. And I think it was like losing the shame or insecurities around what it means in our era to be a believer, to be God-fearing, and to be submitted to God. Like, I'm not religious. I don't consider myself a Christian, although I'm Christ-like and I follow Christ, but I don't subscribe particularly to that religion cadence, if you will, or any religion cadence. What I've learned is that all religions have tried to put God in a box, in their box, in spectrum. And that's arrogant of all of us to think that this Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, could even be put into one category of a box, right? So I look at his word as the defining principle and that all religions have, not I can't say all, but I just feel like it's all context. And so the relationship with God is what transformed me from being a child to my father to being a man. Is that when I grew up in reading the word, I grew up in understanding the power of covenant keeping and tithing. Like I never would tithe. I'm like, if I give 10% of my earnings, like, I don't know what that man gonna do with my money. It was about me and my money and the pastor.
Not about what God told you to do.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right? Obedience was a fundamental principle. So it's like, okay, whatever he does with the pastor or the church does.
It got nothing to do with you.
That's on them with God.
Yeah.
I gotta make sure that I'm in covenant, right? And so understanding that and then understanding like all our pain and our adversities and just it's really the obedience factor, I think, was the greatest thing is that I could hear from God and be very confident in just doing what he says, despite how the logical outcomes look in life. And what happened in the last year was I was leaving Big Brothers Anonymous, our mentorship program, right here in that room right there. Mm-hmm. And I was locking up the front door, and there was a big crowd outside across the street with like balloons and candles. And I was like, what's going on? I was like, all right, I'm about to go back home in Alpharetta. I lived an hour away in Alpharetta. Mm-hmm. And my spirit was like, you can't just leave and not find out what's going on across the street. You have a community center in the community. Mm-hmm. So I then walked across the street to find out what was going on. And that's when I found out that Young Thug's son's mother, that's when she got murdered at the bowling alley at the Metro Lanes. Her mom lives three houses down across the street.
Wow.
So they were gathering as a memorial for her. That's what someone told me. So my spirit, God said, keep walking. So I walked, after finding out, I keep walking. He said, turn around. So I turn around. And I look, in our building, the black house is sitting on the top of the hill like a beacon of hope. Mm. And he said, you can't empower my people from an hour away. Mm. So I immediately went home and told my wife, your friend, your very good friend, we got to move. Mm. And she's like, I'm not moving to the south side. Ain't no Whole Foods over there.
We know.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And this was when God was testing me. Are you a child of God or are you a man of God? Mm. I know what I heard. It was clear. It's crystal. Mm. I know that's the same voice I heard. We said, take care of my people. I take care of you. Mm. In 2012, the same voice that said, do the corner class or start this academy or do this fund. Like the Tulsa Real Estate Fund, that was all launched when God told me in Baltimore in 2015 to use this model to build a Black Wall Street. I should be listening. And so I had all these different things. And so my wife's like going ham. While she's going ham, I'm coincidentally in the Word, in Song of Solomon, I believe it is, or maybe it's Samuel. But I'm in the Word reading about Samson and Delilah. Mm-hmm. And it said how Delilah vexed Samson's soul daily, oppressed his soul daily, and almost vexed him to death. Mm-hmm. So Delilah was so on Samson verbally about trying to find out his power and what she wanted from him, that she almost pressed his soul to death. Mm. And so as my wife is like going heavy at me about not moving from this beautiful golf course community that we have in Alpharetta, but I know what God is telling me. And he told me specifically what town to move to. He told me to move to South Fulton. Mm. So as that's happening, I was trying to figure, I had to be obedient. So I'm like, listen, I know what my father told me. Mm. So I don't know where you're going, but we listen to this house, right?
So go ahead. I'm going to say, how has that been in your relationship with being a lot of things changing because you are now submitting to God so much more and you have a wife that has to trust you and be like, all right, if God is telling you that, that has probably been a shift in your marriage a little bit.
A big bit.
Okay. Like God is telling me this. I don't know what you want, but this is where I am and I am submitting to him and I'm being obedient. So you're going to have to get with it. Cause I'm not stopping.
Yeah. This is an all men, but I just say from my example, it was more than me just popping up saying, I just hear from God all of a sudden, right? Because that's not enough like evidence of who I used to be. Mm-hmm. It was the habits I changed in my life, right? Okay. That she watched. So she watched me reading the Word every single day. She watched me praying for us every single night, mm-hmm. right? So she watched my spirit. She watched me doing a Bible study every single week.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she watched me get closer and closer in the Word. She still was skeptical.
Yeah.
And so as she was, as we were kind of feel our way through the whole moving situation, we did list a property and our property got under contract. We listed it for $700,000. Mm-hmm. It went under contract for $670,000. And then they came back and negotiated after doing an inspection, us down to $640,000. So we're like, all right, cool, I'm out. Like, mm-hmm. I know what God said, we out. Mm-hmm. And so there was a leak in our kitchen overnight and it flooded our whole kitchen and basement. And so they ended up canceling our listing. Right. So they end up canceling our listing, right? So my wife's, getting upset. You just get upset. I'm like, don't worry about it. Like, God's got it. We cool. Mm-hmm. And so 4 months later, after going through insurance and all of that, insurance ended up cutting a check to repair the flood damage. And the check they cut covered all the flood damage and like 80% of the inspection items we had from the prior real estate inspection. So we got all that done. So I call a realtor back like, all right, time to go back on the market. Like, so me and her and I decided what we're going to do again. I'm like, we're going back on the market. I'm like, going back on to 700 again? He's like, no, the market went up at 750. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like, all right. So we put the house on the market at 750. Mind you, we were under contract at 640. Mm-hmm. We put it on the market at 750. The first weekend, we got 8 offers. The highest offer was 850.
Ooh.
We cashed out.
For sure.
So now she's like, okay. I'm like, yeah. Listen to my God. Right? So that was one receipt. And then as we were looking for properties, she wanted to be like in a middle class area. But I told you, God told me where to go to on the south side. And so we had a realtor looking at two different areas and it's different listings.
Yeah.
And we couldn't find anything that fit our closet space. So we're going to build something. So we had seen like a 5-acre lot to build something. And I never read real estate listings. Like, you know, I don't have to read them. I could kind of tell, you know, just quick. And something told me to read this one. And so I read every word of the listing and description. And the last sentence said 27-acre farm home estate adjacent, also for sale. And I was like, what's that? Mm-hmm. And I've been talking about farming since COVID happened and everything. I was like, yo, we got to grow our own food. Have we got to be self-sustainable, our own water. And I've been preaching and teaching that. And I'm like, yo, I really want to be like closer to the land. And when you read Genesis, you'll see how God talked about seed, time, and harvest, and husbandry, and the land, and how the earth really teaches us so much principles about his ecosystem, right? Mm. And so I really want to get closer to the earth and slow down and stop being like a city boy and be more like, right? And so we go toward this property. And as we're standing outside, God was like, I'm giving you this land for you and your family. That clear. And so we put an offer in above asking price, no inspection contingency, no appraisal contingency. I'm like, we get in this house. Mm-hmm. The next day before my money church Monday.
That seller's dream.
And what?
No contingency.
What? No contingency. I love a no
contingency. You feel me? Like, I don't even care what's wrong with it.
Right,
I want it.
Right. I want it. Yeah.
So the next day I'm going to my podcast. I get a text from a realtor. She's like, sorry, but someone else cut the property. I'm like, yo, I know what God told me. I heard it. It was clear. I'm like, well, maybe he meant like 10 years from now or something. I'm like, I don't know what. I know for a fact we're getting that property. I heard how clear it was.
Wow.
So I went on my podcast and I was telling the story about this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know what? We were talking about seed sowing. I said, I know what God told me for a fact. I said, Bishop Dean, he's like my spiritual mentor. He was my co-host. I said, what's your Cash App? What's your church Cash App? He gave me a Cash App. So I put $1,000 in Cash App. I was like, yo, I'm going to show y'all right now live the power of seed sowing. I said, watch what my God do. I Cash App $1,000 right there, put it on the screen. That week, I hit the realtor, like, yo, can they sell a contract to us? Can we get it? I'm trying to like backdoor ways to get the contract, right? She's like, no, they said no. I'm like, well, what if, and I tried another strategy. And then as I was typing it, God said, if I told you I got it, why are you trying so hard? I have to show you the text message right now. I text her back, like, you know what? Don't do anything else. God's got it. And I sat back for 3 weeks. I called back, like, are they closing? She's like, yeah, they're about to close. I hit her back, they closed yet? She's like, no, they couldn't close. They filed an extension. I was like, put in the backup offer. She put in the backup offer. Hit her back. She's like, oh, they couldn't close. They accepted your backup offer.
Ooh.
Listen, I tied $1,000 in 2022. I tied $1,000 to a church on a property that was under contract with somebody else that God told me was for me and my family.
Wow.
And we live in that property right now today.
Yeah. We walked that land, honey.
So one more cosign. Now I'm on the land after we buy it. I'm in the back. There's 11 acres of pasture land. I'm like, I need some goats, man. It's like too much grass to be cutting grass. I need some goats to eat this grass. And somebody was like, what you going to do with some goats? You don't know about no goats. So I go, I'm locking the property up, right? I'm locking it up. I'm driving out in a loaner car I had. And I'm passing it. I seen this guy. He like stood out to me. He had like a dirty Nautica shirt on. It's like an old school Nautica shirt, Nautica rugby. You know what I mean? And he looked like a local guy. I thought like maybe like a liquor store guy, you know, wine or kind of energy. Because he had like a bag in his hand and was just, you know, I know he's walking across, just walking down the road, right? Mm-hmm. And so as I'm riding past him, my spirit said, off my ride. And on obedience, I stopped the car. I couldn't back up because there was cars behind me. So I let him catch up to me. I said, excuse me, King Peace. I said, you want to ride? He said, no. I said, my house is right down the street. I love walking. I said, oh, I'm new to the area. I got a little farm home estate. He said, oh, cool. He said, if you ever seen any goats in the street, they're mine. I have a goat farm down the street. He said, right after I just said, I need some goats. Aminu, he's on my phone right now, my goat man.
So he said, my goat man, not my weed man, my goat man. Yeah. So look at God.
So after all this, you were asking me, how did I get to a man of God? So after God manifested himself to me, like, and I'm hearing from him, and then his words not coming back void, I know what I know when I hear from him. So no one could tell me no different. I have receipts and evidence and proof, like 2023 proof.
Yeah.
Of him speaking to me and manifesting things. And so from that point, I grew more confidence in the word. Oh. Another one. That weekend while we're touring the house, and he said, I'm giving this land for you and your family. Coincidentally, reading my word in chronological order, I'm in Deuteronomy 6:10. I will give you land, I will give you houses you build if not, vineyards you plant if not, and wells you dig if not. Why does our property have a vineyard and have a well? The same weekend we toured the house. Just in my chronological order reading. I didn't go search for it or nothing. So when God co-signs and confirms himself that much. And there's some people who are watching this who don't believe that, don't believe in our God. I don't argue with those people. You got your own God. Worship him or her or the crystals or whatever it is you do.
Not him or the crystals.
No, what I'm saying is that I have a personal relationship with God. It's like getting a DNA test from your father. Like, I look like him. I sound like him. He's verified. He's mine. I know that's my father. Mm-hmm. So now, if he's your father or not, that I don't know. That's on you.
Yeah. Mm. I just know he's mine.
But I know he's mine.
I know he's mine.
Yeah.
And he showed he's mine.
Yeah.
And so that's what has evolved me to a man of God, where it's like, I have no shame. I have no insecurity. I have no, like, social media, Instagram, or you're preaching now. I don't care. If God tell me to preach on the corner, I'm preaching on the corners.
Yeah.
He tell me to pastor, I'm pastoring. He tell me to shut it down, I'm shutting it down. So, like, that's a man of God.
Yeah.
I love that. So tell us about your new game show that's coming up. We need to talk about that.
Credit to Cash Flow Live.
Okay.
You're excited about that.
I know. He wants us to be on it.
I know.
Yeah.
I said I'm a loser. Don't be on my team.
I'm like, we're picking people from the audience. So hopefully they're
right. Hopefully, if you're in the audience, you have some knowledge.
Tell us about that before we go.
Okay. So yeah, it's a 4-week series called Credit to Cash Flow Live. We're right here at the Legacy Center in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. And I invited you all to be our grand finale guests. We're giving away an acre of land. So we're giving away 1 acre.
That's so
crazy.
That's so cool. Seriously. I'm like, if we both draw, what is it?
Both
a tie.
We
need the land. Where is this? We do.
Not if it's in South Fulton, though. I'm not driving down
It's
here.
Not. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So here's how it works. So it's like a Family Feud style show with a live studio audience. So August 9th, August 16th, August 23rd, and August 30th. Anybody can participate. It's totally free. You come here at 6 p.m. Eastern. Doors open at the Legacy Center, 3015 R. Martin Street. But what we do is I teach a short financial literacy lesson for like 12 minutes. Give you some game on credit, on real estate, on finances, on budgeting, whatever, cash flow. Mm-hmm. We really focus on how to get passive income so we can have financial freedom. You need like residual income, mm-hmm. not just earned income. No matter how rich you are, mm-hmm. your earned income will run out if you don't have passive income. Mm-hmm. Or you got to keep working. Mm-hmm. So anyway, it's those 4 weeks. Oh, I'm sorry, I love this. I got this from the church when I did my sermon. It gave me thanks. Shout out to Pastor Mitch, Word of God Fellowship Church. So,
oh my God.
Hello, Hank and Jim. You are a pastor.
So this. So yeah, for 4 weeks, guys, you could attend here at the Legacy Center. We teach a lesson, and then our celebrity and influencer guests, Rod and Chi-Chi, are going to do August 9th.
Okay, cool. Oh,
nice. You're going to come on, and you're going to pick from a live studio audience 3 members to your team.
Okay.
And those members will go head to head at the buzzer to play a pop quiz game on the lesson we just taught. Mm. And so first one hit the buzzer, they're the ones that get the question opportunity. If you get the question wrong, you lose 100 points. If you get it right, you gain 100 points. Then we have a bonus round worth 300 points. And then a winning team, that team then goes head to head against each other.
Okay.
To play a game called Name That Value, where we show you like an Airbnb or a Toro car. You got to name how much value or how much cash flow that car.
Okay.
Get it in one night. Whoever gets the closest to that value without going over, that's the winner for that day. Mm-hmm. They get the cash prize of that day, which is the amount of points your team earned. And they are eligible for the August 30th grand finale 1 acre giveaway with you guys.
Yeah. So all the people that play are. Wow. Yeah. Yes.
And then when you guys.
Good team.
Yeah.
So, but then you guys come, you both will pick one lucky person from the live studio audience to be on your teams that day on August 30th.
Okay.
And we'll do the same thing. They'll go head to head, and whoever wins will go head to head on Name That Value. And then they will get the 1 acre land.
Wow.
We're also offering any one of our students. So we have a program called 1111.
Okay.
It's $11.11 a month to get all my lectures ever. It's like 100 real estate lectures, credit lectures, business lectures, LLC lectures, master classes. I put everything into one bundle, credit repair blueprints. And it's for $11.11 a month.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. At credit2cashflow.pro. The number two. Yeah. credit2cashflow.pro. Yeah.
Oh, so my God. I love that.
That's the new game show. Just making it fun to learn financial literacy and give us some incentive to do it. So one fan's going to walk away with an acre of land. And you guys, whichever one of you guys wins, you'll be the biggest giver that day.
I'm like, I'm about to be in the audience.
Seriously.
Pick me. And I'm just kidding. Seriously. No, that's cool.
Is there any resources that you can give our audience for financial literacy, whether they're for their children, for themselves, young adults,
for sure,
or mature adults? What are some ways that or resources that they can kind of start, you know, getting themselves familiar with what financial literacy is?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think like, you know, easy resources. I have like 1,000 lectures on my YouTube, right? Like nice, free, and easy. There's like all kind of lectures. You could Google like Jay Morrison Credit, Jay Morrison Real Estate. That's one. Our 1111 program is cool, super cool because it's only $11 a month. It's like your Netflix or Prime bill.
Okay.
And it's recurring, cancel anytime, but you get access really to like my best stuff, like full curriculums, credit repair blueprint, like not like not the leftover stuff.
Right.
Like actually my masterclass, my wealth mastery program, budget checklist. And I think as families realize that the cool part about why I love starting with credit is because like no one is in credit hell.
Okay.
Like there's no credit life sentence. You can't get booted out of the credit system. So no matter how bad
it can get better.
Yeah. No matter where you're at,
yeah.
300 credit score, you still can be eligible to improve. Mm-hmm. And once you start learning the credit laws, like one tip I'll give everyone is that the way you dispute things is essentially this. No creditor can verify anything they put on your credit report is 100% accurate if they don't talk to you.
Mm.
Right? So they have to report only 100% accurate things to your credit report. But they can't say that a repo, a bankruptcy, a student loan, they can't say anything is accurate unless you actually verify
that that's mine.
Mm. That's yours. And if they don't do that, they're actually in violation. Mm. And they have to pay you up to a $1,000 fine.
Wow.
So we show you those laws in our 1111 program.
What's that? I got to get the call.
Okay. Ain't nobody called to verify nothing about me.
Because I ain't answered.
Okay.
So that's how to actually make them pay you. They'll pay you to remove some off your credit. If you because if you take them to court, they have to pay you a fine. For putting something on your credit without your permission and something that also gave you emotional duress and stress.
Oh, wow.
So for sure.
So there's a lot of laws to it, okay. but that's like the most like legit way to like improve your credit and then go to the banks and get funding.
Yeah.
And use their money to go buy cash flow. That's our model. So
cash flow.
And stop buying stuff that you can't afford.
Braylon?
Start there. No. Just anybody. Like, why? Like,
talking to myself.
Just being somewhat mature in how you spend money.
For sure.
You know what I mean? Sure. Like
budget, just budget.
You can't say, oh, I want like, you know, your goal is to, if you want to buy a house or a property and your car note is more than your current rent or, you know what I mean? Like,
or you have a car note on a car that you can't afford. Go buy a $3,000 cash car and thug it out for a couple years. And save
thug
and
it out.
Or you got life insurance on your phone, but you got life insurance in your life.
Ooh. Mm-hmm.
If you go today.
I told my class.
Right. So it's just being better stewards.
Just being better steward over what's given to you.
Yeah. Okay. So
I love that.
Thank you for coming. Yeah, I'm like, thank you for coming to your building.
To go upstairs to your office and do more work.
No, seriously. I can't wait to do that. Yeah. We'll be posting a little bit of that, like little clips and stuff.
Yeah, thank you guys for agreeing to participate in the first ever financial literacy game show.
That'd be fire.
Credit to cash flow live.
Leanne is like, who gives that away?
That's a great
who wins that?
Prize.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out how we can win it.
And everyone can register at credit2cashflowlive.com. That's where the game show is.
We love you guys. This was another episode of the Know For Sure podcast. I am B. Simone.
I'm Megan Ashley.
And we'll see how she is.
And I'm Mr. J.
Yeah, Mr. J. We'll see y'all next week.
See ya.
Like, what do we know for sure?
Yeah, let's run it back.
Run it back.
So at the end of every episode, or at least we try at the end of every episode, we often forget, but we have an amazing team here to remind us that we always say, what do you know for sure? And what are you saying no to for sure?
Mm.
So Mr. J, what do you...
K-N-O-W, then N-O.
What do you know for sure? What do you say no to?
I know for sure that my God is real.
Mm-hmm.
In 2023, he the living one, the Alpha, the Omega, I am. Like,
he lives today.
Right now. Real. Uh-huh. I know that for sure. And what I'm saying no to for sure.
Hard non-negotiable.
I don't play no ambiguous guys. Like, in my mentorship program, is like something that God showed me recently. Like, we would, I would offer to pray sometimes. And because we're like associated with like, you know, the county and political and government, it's like, all right, guys, pray to whatever God you pray to and that kind of thing. And I had to tell them like, I appreciate the partnership, but I can't have a partnership where we're promoting ambiguous gods. Like, I'm not going to lead our youth and our young men to pray to like whatever God you pray to. Like, I don't know no other gods.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, I know my God.
Okay. So it's just like not, if it's not aligned with what I believe, I can't.
Just not be involved in it. Yeah. Promote it. Yeah.
Yeah. I understand that.
Got to have a non-negotiable. Like, is am I serving him? Is that who I promote?
Yeah, everybody going to be faced with that at one point or another.
For sure.
So it's like, for sure. I appreciate that. Yeah.
What's yours?
What do I know for sure? I know that, I do know I'm becoming more aware and want to be more responsible and a better steward over financial literacy for myself and my kids, like learning what that looks like, setting them up properly, And then what am I saying no to for sure? I'm going to say no to,
say no.
I'm going to say no to drugs because you are selling a lot of drugs.
I am saying no to heroin.
So, for sure. Heroin, crack.
Say no.
Right.
I'm not saying yes to that.
What I know for sure is no matter where you are at, God can deliver you because your story impactful. It reminded me a lot of Wall Street when he was on here, you know, just telling his story of where y'all came from as Black men and who y'all are today. It's just like, God.
Rikers?
Can do. That's crazy. Yeah. I did not know you was in it like that. I just thought you sold a little cigarettes.
Little joints.
Anybody want a little puff? I thought you said lighters or something. Yeah. Little hustler.
You said, Jesus. Well, then after the crack went bad, I went to heroin. So it was popping over here.
Everything was fine for me. Like, I fired the other people and I hired somebody that could sell it quick. I was like, Jesus.
Mr. J?
Mr. J. What was your street name?
Maine? Yeah.
How? Maine J?
Yeah, Maine.
We're
Big Maine.
Man, we're Big Maine.
I had a Maine.
I always wanted to act in a movie like that. A movie. A film. Please give me a role.
Nonfiction.
So when I'm off, I'm off.
This is not my reality.
Where Maine at? It's like, girl. All right. I know for sure. God can take you from that to this. You know, yeah. I know that for sure. No matter what you're in. It is not the end all be all. And what am I saying no to? I am saying no to not being responsible financially. All right. We love you guys. See ya next week on No Fear
Bar.
Question. Yes.
What? As we're rapping. As we're rapping.
What did I say?
I want to say, maybe comment, that our men in our community, I just got to say this, that we got to take responsibility for the direction and where we're going. There's been too much men deflection going on in our community. And I think that, like, what I want my example most out of this to show outside of relationship with God is, like, we put a lot on the queens, on our women, to, like, fix the family and, like, be the forerunner. But, like, until our men actually get back in a position of, like, leadership and submission to God and, like, taking over our role of leadership, like, we're never going to get ahead like we want to get ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that because I know you guys have a very big female platform.
Yeah.
I'm just advocating for y'all. Like, y'all have done more than your part. And, like, real men got to step up without being defensive and deflective about, like, what our role is supposed to be, responsibility, and fixing the family. And so I'm advocating for real men to step up and be real men again.
Yeah.
I love that.
And hopefully men do it in a way that's not, like, spiritually abusive. And what I mean by is because you have the authority, you take advantage of the authority.
The power and the leader. Head,
so I'm just going to do whatever I want and think that I'm, God's okay with it because he's given me this position.
And he's not.
Yeah. And God puts a man and a woman together. Therefore, when you are going to your father, you consider your wife. And he's not going to direct you in a way that is going to bring division between you and your wife. And so men need to also understand that spiritual abuse is a thing.
It is. You
so you can
her.
Be a man of God, but you can be spiritually abusive by taking your position and manipulating
with
it
power with and power ego
and trying to run it with power. You're only in that position so that you, because God placed you in that position, and that authority comes from him.
Facts.
And not yourself. And so I don't hear a lot of men talking about that part.
It's a sacrificial love.
And we need that.
You gotta love her like Christ loved the church. Like, you gotta really love your woman and love me and being patient, being long suffering, being kind. So if you're not being kind to your woman, that you're not loving her like Christ loved the church. And being manipulative or abusing your position of leisure role is not being kind. Right.
Yeah.
So it's not about men having more authority. Is men have more responsibility.
More
accountability. Like, if my family's not right, my community's not right, that's on me. I'm messing up.
I love that.
It's a little hard to share.
No,
that.
I'm glad you said that. That was good.
Sure. We need more men, godly men in our communities. Did you say your no?
She did.
What, crack?
Yeah.
Well, for sure. Mine was heroin.
No crack, no heroin, no jail. Let's go.
Woo! All right, we love you guys. See y'all next week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Know For Sure podcast. Make sure you keep the conversation going and use our hashtag KnowForSurePod.
Yes, we want to see you guys share the hashtag KnowForSurePod on all social media platforms. We want to keep the conversation going.
And follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter, KnowForSurePod.